Brother Ricky, and so that he can go to the other side and give the people his. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to believe God that God will help us to get this done. I'm hoping to do it like yesterday. Alright? We want to get it done as soon as possible so that we can really get to worship the Lord. Amen? Before I do anything else further, we're going to get Sherway to come and greet you and also thank you. Mike, can we have this mic on? Is it on? Okay. Come up here, shall we? Come up here so that they can see you. All right, thank you. Those of you who don't know what transpired last Sunday morning, Eric was with us in worship. And then he went back home. He got really sick. And within a short space, a week after that, is that? The week before that. And then within a week, you know, everything began to change. It's sad because he beat cancer, but lost to an infection. But we know that if the word be true, that for us to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's not loss, but gain when he stands in the presence of God. When we look beyond and see that all of life is a preparation for eternity and that God has prepared things that no eye has ever seen, nor ear heard, the wonderful things God has prepared. If we think the earth is wonderful, it's just a small little marble in comparison to what God has for his people. If it were not so, I would have told you, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. To secure your place. So Eric stands in a far better place. And that's why as believers we can rejoice in that. Of course we will miss him. We will miss his presence with us, but it's only a short while. Life is just so fragile and it's so short. We all stand on we are all on borrowed time, actually. We're just one heartbeat away from heaven. And I trust all of us are ready. Come on, amen? All right, here are some announcements that have to be made. Can we have the announcements up very quickly? Combined cell prayer group, which is next cell group prayer meeting, which is this coming Friday, right? Instead of having your cell, we are all coming together here to meet, and then we can, you know, pray for different things, pray for our nation, and different requests that we will bring up. Let's go to the next one. Ex-ladies fellowship. Looks like they are very happy. All right. You're going to have it on the 9th of September. All ladies are welcome. It's going to be in Christine Chia's home. Sister Christine Chia, where are you? Sometimes some of you do not know Christine Chia. Could you stand, please? Stand. I think they still cannot see you. Could you stand on your chair? No, I'm kidding. All right, that's Christina. All right, it's going to be at her home. Now, Sunday school, this is very, very key. This is very important, simply because we need men. Not boys, huh? Men. All right? We need men to come and help in the Sunday school program. All right? This is very important. We don't send our kids up there so that they can be, you babysit them and then send them down. We want to make sure that there's a positive input into their lives. So we need volunteers. We'll talk about that up when the service is over a little bit more. But we need men to come and just come and listen to the guy who is sharing, because his main ministry is towards youth. And then he will tell you why it is so important for men to be involved in training of children. All right, he's coming for the teacher's training. He was at our church camp. He was speaking to the children, but at the same time, we also had a conversation with him. I think he shared at the camp a little bit. But it is so key to have men involved. And so we need you to come for the teacher's training. That's on the 9th of September from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the evening. Okay, next announcement. Any more? Leaders Seminar. James Rao is from New Zealand. He's ministering in different parts, and then on the way he will be stopping over here for just the weekend. So we decided to have him on a Saturday. Is that right? Saturday, 16th of September, 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., followed by lunch at Sophie's. Are we having it at Sophie's itself, the training? The training will be at Sophie's itself, and then followed by a lunch. So please come. This is not just, if I'm not a leader, you just come and get trained, all right? Come and get inspired. If you want to be inspired, then come for this. Everybody is welcome. All right, let's go. Next one. Punjab mission trip. I hope, how many are going so far? Do we know how many are going? How many are going to Punjab? Anybody here going to Punjab? 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are 7 of us who are going. If you want to go, please let us know so that we can make sure your hotel room is booked and et cetera, et cetera. It's tremendous. You need to come and see the church that you are building. All right? It's grown tremendously. From the first time we went, they were living in a room that was just as big as this. That was the room that they were staying in. Now they've got a 3-story building. They've got their own house on the top of the building. The church is going into their 3rd service. It's packed out the place. Wonderful things are happening because you were faithful in your giving to the Lord. Amen. All right, I think that's about it. Is that right? Any more? All right, Christmas dinner on the 14th at One City Banquet Hall. You watch out and we'll be selling you the tickets. We want everybody to come. We are trying to even subsidize so that you could bring people. We are not charging you extra to make any money from you. In fact, the church is coming up with a lump sum to cut the cost down so that you could buy tables for your relatives and for your friends. Come on. How much is a table going to be? 600 ringgit for a table. Can or not? Some of you go out individually, you eat 600. So please, come and just buy a table. Just invite anybody. If you don't have anybody, just go out on the street and say, hey, I got tickets, come for dinner. Just pull them and bring them free of charge. Okay. Do something for somebody. Come on. Amen. Be a blessing. Amen. I was in the car today. Any more announcements? Kumar? That's it. That's it. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Immediately after the service, immediately. So no going out. If you want to help, we are starting. You saw outside, we have the VIP. We need volunteers to help, in different aspects of the church. We didn't take the offering yet, did we? Not yet. Okay. All right. Some of you are already jumping. Brother Gore is already standing up with his wallet, so I better take his money while he's still eager. Father, we love you and we thank you for being a part of what you are doing. It's always a privilege to be included in your plans. And so now, Lord, as your people continue to sow, you will bless them richly. you will bless them richly. This is your promise. Especially when it comes to finances, there is only one scripture that we can find where you challenge your people to give because you want so badly to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And so you challenge us, prove me now, your word declares, and see if I will not do it. So Lord, let your word be true as your people take up, worship you with their giving in Jesus' name. Amen. In the car, I was telling Pastor Lifan, how many of you know this song? You are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful. It was written by Phil Driscoll to the Lord. It was not meant to be a love song. But then Kenny Rogers and different ones began to use it as a love song. But it was meant to be a worship chorus to the Lord. You are so beautiful to me. And I trust that the Lord is beautiful to you. Amen? I trust that the Lord will become beautiful to you. And the thing about the Lord is, He becomes more glorious when we are going through difficult times. That's where He reveals Himself. See, you would never know that God is a healer unless you were sick. You would never experience Him. You would never experience the Savior unless you know that you need a Savior. Never experience Him as the helper. See, David had many names for God. You are my refuge. You are my the fountain of life. You are this and you are that. And constantly, no other person ever wanted to experience God, although God wanted to be experienced. Through the Old Testament, as you begin to read the Old Testament, you will see how God says this again and again. I am going to do this so that they might know that I am God. I want them to know, not, wow, He is God, but that they may know that I am God who is involved in the everyday affairs of people's lives. Amen. So, I've said this again and again. Why does Paul speak about overcoming? Why does he speak about being more than a conqueror? Because he's telling us straight off that we will have, just quoting Jesus, in this world you shall have tribulation. You will have trouble. Man's days are few and filled with difficulties and trouble. The Bible tells us that. There is no escaping it. All of mankind will go through all kinds of trouble. God does not show favoritism in that sense. Whether we are believers or unbelievers, everybody has to go through the same grind of the mill. We will face difficulties. Come on. Doesn't mean that now you become a believer, so God's going to spare you all the trouble. No, no, no. He's going to take you through it where you can see that God is indeed with you. And so sometimes, you know, this morning I'm speaking about overcoming within your imprisonment. It's like, you don't understand what is happening, but you have been thrown into a situation. Think of Paul, who says, you know, that all things, come on, I shared that the other week. For we know, that's how he begins it. For we know that, come on, all things work together for the good of those who love God and called according to his purpose. How could Paul come up with that statement? How could he say, we know? It's just that he and whoever who was traveling with him began to find out through their own experience that God was still at work. And we've got to find out how God is working when I'm in a situation that is so difficult. Am I on again? Okay. And how is it? How do I know I am in the center of God's will when everything around me screams and says, God is not with you. You've got to be out of the will of God. That's why you're facing this. You know, it's very easy for people who claim to have quote-unquote faith to say to you, you don't have faith. That's why. A lot of the time, God is working without us even realizing it. That's what I want to talk about this morning. We're going to look at Joseph's life and how, you know, he went from, well, not so much from the pit to the prison, but from the prison to the palace. How do I overcome when I'm in the midst of something like this? Okay? Andrew Davidson said this, I am more than my scars. Declaring that I'm a bigger person. Don't just look at the scars. I am bigger than the scars that I'm facing. How many of you know this guy? Steve Jobs, he said this, remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment, or fear of failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Is that true? Everything else is unimportant. You don't worry about things like that anymore when you begin to understand death. Now, how do I know that I am right in the center of the will of God? Number one, unwarranted problems. Unwarranted problems. The moment, what did Joseph do that was wrong? He didn't do anything that was wrong. Everything he did was okay. He was a good son. In fact, he was such a good son that the father decided, this boy, you know, is different from all his other brothers. I will bless him. And created for him a coat of many colors. Now, we don't understand that because, you know, we've got all kinds of colors that we wear. In those days, it was very difficult to get a coat of many colors. You had to, you know, get all the things done in, you know, sewn in little at a time. It was special. So Joseph was a special son. He didn't do anything bad. All he did was have dreams. He was called the dreamer, right? But because of his dreams that God gave him, he was beaten up. We know the whole story. So Joseph is taken and he's sold as a slave to no fault of his. No fault of his. He's taken and he's thrown off sold off as a slave. He comes to Potiphar's house, works his butt off. If I can put it that way. The man works hard and God blesses Potiphar's house because of Joseph. Hallelujah. What happens? Next thing he knows, he's accused of attempted rape and thrown in. So, Potiphar arrests Joseph, puts him into prison where the king's prisoners were put. And Joseph stayed there in prison. So, when things are going against you, and you know that you don't deserve this, actually. Why is this happening to me? As I said before, sometimes we go into our hearts and search ourselves and try to find some kind of fault when there is no fault. But we suffer. Peter says this, for what credit is there if you sin and you are punished? And you endure it. But when you do what is good and you still suffer and you endure it, it brings what? Come on. It brings the favor of God upon us. When we are right and we are doing right and still we suffer, then it says God will show you favor, which means that you are in the will of God. So when things are going wrong with you and you know that this is totally unwarranted, right? Why is it happening to you? You don't understand, but this is where you begin to say, all things work together for my good. Paul in prison did not deserve to be in prison. All the ones that suffered did not deserve to be suffered. You know, I was thinking about Peter, and Peter said this in his epistle. He said, this is our light affliction. I was thinking, what are you talking about, light affliction? Those guys suffered tremendously. They were persecuted and put in prison. Peter was chained to four guardsmen. And next day he was going to be executed. And he says, this is nothing. This is just a light affliction. Nothing to be worried about. And we know that all things are working together for the good. Come on, amen. God is still at work. Even though you're facing all these things, this is where you begin to understand, because I'm in the will of God, I'm facing these things. That's how you know I'm in the will of God. All right? Not when everything is going well, because the people in the world, many things go very well for them, but they are not in the will of God. But when you are in the will of God, expect things to happen. Now, the second way you find out how do I know I'm in the center of God's will? There is the unseen presence of the Lord. Look at this. 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him kindness and caused the prison warden to like him. Now, I want us to try and understand this, all right? Let me give you another scripture first. Let me give you another one. The prison warden chose Joseph to take care of the prisoners, and he was responsible for whatever was done in the prison. The prison warden paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's care. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph and made him successful in everything he did. So, you are in a prison situation, but yet, things are working out. God is still blessing you. Now, think about this for a while. Potiphar was actually like the captain of the guard. He held two jobs. If you read through the entire portion, you will understand. He's also called Potipharah. All right? He was not only the captain of the guard, but he was also a religious man, spiritual man. And he was the priest over Egypt. All right? That was who Potiphar was. Now, Joseph is accused of attempted rape. This man is a man in a very high position. The moment this story came to him, his natural reaction should have been, which is what he should have done legally as well, execution. Joseph should have been executed because he touched a slave touching an Egyptian. Execution. All right? But what does he do? He takes him and does not throw him in a dungeon. He puts him in a prison of political prisoners. Which means that Potiphar knew his wife better. I mean, if you understand what I'm saying. He knew that whatever the wife said to him, this could not be. But to satisfy the woman in the house, he had to do something because she screamed loudly. Everybody heard about it. But he could not execute Joseph. Why? Because the Lord was with him. You will go through difficult situations, but please understand this. God will not allow you to be executed. God will not allow you to die. God will be with you, and He will prosper you in your imprisonment. Come on. That's how it works. That's how God does it. You are not out of it. You are there and you are going through difficult situations, but yet God is going to bless you in the midst of your most difficult situation. That's how God works. That's how I know that although I'm suffering, I'm going through all this torment, sometimes you feel depressed, you are down in the gutter, yet in that problem, you know that God is there with you. He will bless. Come on, amen. Uninvited people. Genesis chapter 10. Two guys are now brought into the prison and Joseph is given care for them. They are the closest people to the king. After these things happened, two of the king's officers displeased the king, the man who served wine to the king and the king's baker. The king became angry with his officer who served him wine and his baker. So he put them into the prison of the captain of the guard, right? Which is Potiphar's prison. The same prison where Joseph was kept. The captain of the guard put the two prisoners in Joseph's care and they stayed in prison for some time. Now, What was the problem here? Both these guys had to do with consumption, food, right? Now, the wine or the cup bearer was actually more than somebody who just carried the cup and give the king. The cup bearer was actually like Nehemiah, right? He was the advisor to the king. He was the one who told the king different things. The king confided in him. He was the one who would say, listen, before you touch anything, let me take it first. I am your protector. I am your bodyguard. So when they served wine, he would take the wine and he would drink it first. Not really from the cup, but he would take out and he would drink, and then he would let the king, now it is safe for you to drink. Right? If there was poison in it. But somehow the king had a problem in his mind. He thought, maybe this guy is in on a conspiracy to try to kill me. And so he got displeased with the guy. He said, let me just put you aside and find out whether things will work out or not. The next guy was the guy who made bread for the king. Right? Remember, this is all making like chapatis. Huh? The man in charge of the flour and everything that came into the kitchen. This was not just a baker from the small bakery at the side. This was the king's baker, the man in charge of the kitchen. Okay. So he thought, these two guys are planning to kill me. And they are both put into prison. Now, at this time, here is Joseph having some serious problems. He has been beaten up by his own brothers. He cannot see the father that he loves. He's in a foreign country. He's accused of a crime he did not commit. He's thrown into prison. And the Lord brings two people for him to minister to. Right. Now, this is where we can get a little bit selfish with our problems. And we begin to go, get angry. We don't want anybody to come near us. We don't want to talk to anyone. How many of you know? Do you understand what I'm saying? You all see? Have you ever gone through things like that? When you're facing all these things, you want to isolate yourself and insulate yourself from anyone that will come near you. Right? How do I know that I am in the center of God's will? It is when God sends people to me, and when I am going through really difficult times, and I have to help them go through their difficult times. Come on. So we go, this is my life. It is my life. How many of you know this song? I don't know whether we can have it. Loud. Know this one. Everybody, let's go. Come on. It's mine. Like Frankie. Like Frankie said, I did it my way. Why are you all so quiet? You all should be singing. Lifting hands. It's mine. That's the way we do it, huh? It's my life. Like Frankie said, I did it my way. Nobody comes near me. Nobody touched me. But God brings them into Joseph's presence. This is a God moment. Every person that comes to you while you are going through trouble is a God moment. They come and they share something in order to bring out Joseph's gifting. What is Joseph? He's a dreamer. How do you exercise your gift? Get somebody who's also had dreams to come share their dreams. Have you noticed that Joseph is always meeting people who have got dreams? Why? God wants us to exercise our gifting in the midst of our difficulties. I've realized that, you know, sometimes when I'm so sick, some of you won't know, because we have to still stand up here and preach. And when I'm sick and preaching, the power of God flows even more. I've seen people get healed while I myself have been sick. People's pains going while I am suffering pain. And so I've discovered that in the midst of your imprisonment, when you begin to start praying for other people, talking to them, going out of yourself and meeting with others, come on, God can bring your deliverance. Can you imagine if Joseph said to himself, hey, you'll leave me alone, huh? I've got enough problems of my own, okay. Oh, but Joseph, we had dreams. Listen, let me say something to you. It is because of dreams I'm here, okay? Don't talk to me about dreams, okay? I had dreams, man. One guy says, I had dream. The other guy says, I had dream. He says, yeah, me too. You guys, one dream. I had two dreams. And look at where I am now. Don't talk to me about dreams. I don't want to hear about dreams. Can you imagine if he had said that? He would have still been in prison. But because God forced him to exercise his gift to help somebody else in prison, things began to start working out. So God takes Paul. The amazing thing is, Peter is lying there, man, chained up to the guards. And next day, he's going to face execution. Suddenly, the chains drop off. The angel comes and smacks him. The word is a hard beat because he's so deep in sleep. Can you imagine? You are sleeping. You are deep sleep, man. Tomorrow, execution, you can sleep. Kind of reminds me of my wife. She can sleep through hell or high water. I mean, like me, light sleeper. The moment the chains rattle means I'll be awake. I'll be awake the whole night. I'll be thinking about tomorrow I'm going to meet the Lord and all that. Might as well get down there and start praying. Oh God, you know, if there's any sin in my life, cleanse me, Lord. Wash me, Lord. Tomorrow I'm going to go, you know, keep worrying, you know, just rattling those chains, staying awake, singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Get ready anytime I'm going to go. But Peter is in a deep sleep. Why? These guys function with the knowledge that you and I need this morning. For we know that all things work together for good. I don't understand the outcome, but I know. It boils down to one thing. I know whom I serve. I know in whom I have believed. And I am fully persuaded. That's what we got to have. We got to have a full persuasion of who our God is. Amen? And the chains break off and the angel wakes him up and he goes and the prison doors open and he walks out. The great apostle Paul, he's in prison and the prison doors don't open until he is executed. In his imprisonment, he gives us 13 books of the Bible. If I was him, you know, I would go, well, what for? In fact, he even says at one time, all have forsaken me, all. There was no one standing with him, he said. All have forsaken me. If they have forsaken me, what am I doing here by myself? I just wait for the Lord to take me. And the Lord will say to him, now Paul, I want you to write. No, I'm not going to write anything. Why should I write? Nobody is with me. Why should I write letters to the churches? They should be with me. Send me. They should be sending me letters, man. Not me sending them letters, Lord. Come on. But in his imprisonment, he decided not only to bless the church at his time, but you and me today. We take comfort from his word today. We take comfort from all things work together for good. Amen? So these two guys have dreams and Joseph interprets that dream. He says to them, this is a God moment. Right? Do not interpretations belong to God? He brings God into that situation. Huh? It's time for me. This is a God-given moment. When somebody comes to you, let God come in. Do not interpretations belong to God? And then he brings God into the picture. Come on, amen? Number four. How do I know God is still working in my life? Unexpected postponement. The two guys, Joseph gives them the news. Now here's the news. Mr. Baker, I just want you to know in 3 days' time, you're going to be executed. Good news. Why good news? Because the fact is, he was going to be killed. The good news is, I've got 3 days to get ready to meet my Maker. Amen? When we see, it depends on how you see things. I've got 3 days. God has given me 3 days to make my life right before I go to meet him. I am going to die. Good news. To the guy who was the cupbearer, he says to him, I got good news for you as well. In 3 days' time, the king is going to restore you to glory. But please, 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 remember me when you go sit with the king. Remember me. Tell him. You can read that whole portion by yourself. I am not meant to be here. I was stolen out of my father's house. That's the word he uses. Kidnapped, beaten, and brought here, and then falsely accused. I don't belong in this prison. Please tell the king the moment you go there what I have told you, how I interpreted your dream. And you would expect the guy to have some kind of, you know, gratitude and say, Mr. King, I want you to know, I'm not supposed, this is what happened in prison. There is this guy called Joseph. He's not supposed to be there. In fact, the prison of the guard thinks he's the best man. He is a good man and he can interpret dreams. King, you got to get him out of there. But this is what the scripture says. 2 years, man. You know, sometimes when we live in a world of, this is going to happen. Because it should happen. Just about. We live in that whole realm, you know, where we begin to think, like, it looked like he was going to sign on the dotted line. It looked like the deal would go through. It looked like he was now coming around. It looked like he was going to give up on his drugs. It looked like that there was change coming into the factory, into the family. It looked like, we live in that, it looked like. And Joseph, when he gave the interpretation and the guy was going to be free, as he's walking out of the prison after 3 days, he says to the wife, remember me, this is my moment. God-given moment. I interpreted the dream and now the guy's walking free. It looked like in a few days' time I will walk out of the prison as well. So Joseph prepares himself to be liberated. But nobody comes to open the gates. He stays there. He waits. Maybe the guy, maybe it'll take some official things to happen. Maybe some papers have to be signed. Maybe next week. But next week does not come. And the week after that does not come. And after a year, you give up hope. You begin to think it will never happen. The guy has completely forgotten about you. Right? Completely forgotten about you. It looked like. Why? Why would God allow a God-given moment and make you believe that deliverance is just around the corner? In this case, I think because God does not want to share His glory with anyone. Let me put it this way. See, if Joseph was released the next day, he would have said, that's because I got the gift of interpretation. I helped the guy out. And because I helped the guy out, now I'm free. If the wine, the cupbearer, would have said, you know why Joseph is where he is today? Me. I helped the guy out. So God wanted it to be absolutely certain that nobody took his glory. When the promotion came, which eventually it would come, unbelievable promotion. Can I say this to you? When God blesses you, you will know it is God, not man. It is not a man-sized blessing that comes. It is a God-sized blessing that will come. All right? It is a God-sized blessing. So, what happens now with Joseph is he's saying, you know, I don't know what is happening. It's being delayed. But the thing about Joseph is, later on when he speaks to his brothers, he says, you meant it for evil, but God. Everybody say, but God. No matter what the enemy is planning against you, no matter what you are going through, you need to understand there is this but God. The enemy may mean it for evil and you may think that what you are going through is the worst thing that could ever happen. How could this happen? But God, I am come that you might have life. The thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. But I am come. Come on, amen. But God. So what happens in the promotion? Watch this one. Genesis 41, verse 41 to 45. So Pharaoh commissioned Joseph. Okay, before that he interprets the king's dream. I don't want to go into the whole detail, but the king has a dream and nobody can interpret the dream. And suddenly the cupbearer begins to remember, the guy who interprets the dream is in the prison. Oh my goodness, you know, I feel so bad. I forgot about him. It's the same phrase used by Jesus to us. Having been delivered, will you remember me? That's why we take communion, you know. Huh? To remember Christ. It's easy to forget, isn't it? Come on. We can easily forget what Jesus has done for us. Am I right? We talk about the cupbearer being an ungrateful fella. How about us? Are we grateful? That's why we must always maintain a grateful heart before the Lord. Amen. So, Pharaoh commissioned Joseph, I'm putting you in charge of the entire country of Egypt. Isn't that good? I mean, from prison to palace. I'm putting you in charge of the entire country of Egypt. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his finger and slipped it on Joseph's hand. He outfitted him in robes of the best linen, put a gold chain around his neck, put the second in command chariot at his disposal. And as he rode, people shouted, bow down! Isn't this amazing? Joseph was in charge of the entire country of Egypt. Moreover, say moreover. See, when God blesses, it is always abundance. Come on, church. It is not just enough. Moreover, Pharaoh told Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And no one in Egypt will make a single move without your stamp of approval. Now listen, I like the last part. Pharaoh gave Joseph an Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paaneah, which means God speaks, God lives. He also gave him an Egyptian wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. So Joseph ruled over all the land. The very person that got him into prison, now Joseph is marrying his daughter. This is a nice story, isn't it? Oi, good movie, huh? What a guy, finally, man. You plan everything bad, but God knows how to turn it around. Come on. God is an amazing God. But the delay is the thing that causes most of us to give up. That's why Paul writes to the church and he says, don't lose your faith or keep the faith. Don't give it up because you're going through a tunnel. Light is at the end of the tunnel. The tunnel is not your life, it's just a moment. Weeping lasts for a season or for the night, but joy, come on, comes in the morning. That's why we have the seasons. That's why we have day and night. There are night seasons of the soul. And sometimes the night seasons of our soul seem to be so long, like Joseph thinking, what on earth is happening? But listen to this one. While Joseph is in prison, God is working in the palace. What does God do? He doesn't appear suddenly. He gives Pharaoh a dream. And the only one who can interpret dreams is in the prison. So without you realizing it, God is working in other corners that you don't even think about. You don't even know. I don't even know what God is doing in the background. One time, remember, I preached on the camels are coming. Remember that message? God knew that Joseph and Mary would have to run away as refugees. Right? And they are just poor people. They could not even, you know, they were poor. He was just a carpenter. How to run away to Egypt when you need finances? What does he do? 2 years earlier, he begins to minister to some people from different parts of the East, and they travel with the most expensive gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they come and they give it to Joseph and Mary, and then they say to them, we've got to go. They just come. They travel 2 years. 2 years earlier, before Jesus was even born, God was already working behind the scenes. Come on. That's why he says, before you call, I answered. Come on. God knows what he is doing. God has plans for all of us. The story of Jonah is another great example. God prepared a fish that would keep growing and growing and growing and have a big stomach to accommodate Jonah. You realize that? Do you know how long it takes for that fish to grow so big and then come at the right time beside the boat when they threw him into the sea? Boom, the guy swallowed. Just waiting all the time following. God is working behind the scenes, man. We don't see it. That's why Paul says, for we know all things work together for good. Unbelievable promotion. God working in the prison. Joseph thinking, God has forgotten me. God has forsaken me. I did his will. I interpreted as he gave me wisdom. I exercised the gifting that he gave to me. I did everything right. I'm beaten. I'm in a pit. I'm in a prison. This is my life. Behind the scene, God is at work. Amen? Behind what is happening in your life, you need to understand God is at work. You may not see him. It is the unseen presence of God blessing you all the way, keeping you safe, keeping you strong, blessing your family. You don't see that. How many of us daily say to God, God, I thank you for all the blessings I enjoy? We don't see it. We don't see the unseen presence of God. It's unseen, unfelt. So we believe that, you know, we just carry on with life, but God is always present. God is always at work. Can I hear an amen? Stand with me, please. Hallelujah.